9. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. I'm going to read, you follow along. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing a letter to the church at Rome, he's reviewing his ministry, his gospel ministry, and he says in verse 22, he says, "This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go on to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ." Amen and amen. God always adds his blessing to the reading and the doing of his word. I want to read for you a quote from William Carey. Most of you have heard of him. You probably understand that he's often referred to as the father of modern missions. He served in India for over 40 years. He and his family arrived in India in the year 1793, and they served there, like I said, for 40 years. This is what he said about financing missions. This is what he said. He said, "Depend on it. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. He is too wise a God to frustrate his purposes for lack of funds. And he can just as easily supply them ahead of time as afterwards, and he much prefers to do so." Now, we all understand that William Carey wasn't writing the Bible. He wasn't inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not inerrant what he said, but it's biblical what he said. And let me tell you why I agree with what he wrote or what he said. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to finish his mission. Job said that no plan of God can be thwarted in Job chapter 42 and verse 2. Jesus is going to finish his mission. He is going to have people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation who will be worshiping him in the new heaven and the new earth, people with whom he can dwell, will finish the mission. And if he's going to finish the mission, there will be enough resources, a supply of resources from him through his people to finish the mission. So the question isn't, the question isn't, should we give? I mean, the question isn't, should we give to missions? And really, the principle is not, if we don't give to missions, then God's work won't be finished. That's not true. God will finish his work. The question is, are we willing to participate in God's mission of making him known to every tribe, every language, every people, every nation? Are we willing to lovingly participate in the mission? He's going to do it with us or without us, but he's going to complete the work. And it's our privilege to participate. It's our loving response to him to participate. We've learned already we participate by discipling for missions. We participate by praying for missions, the advancement of the gospel. And tonight we're going to learn that we participate by giving for missions. So here's my big idea. The big idea from this text is this: serving as senders means that we serve as givers to the mission of God. Serving as senders means that we serve as givers to the mission of God. We serve as givers to the mission of God. We're going to look at four principles tonight before we finish. And the first principle is this. We give to the planting of churches. That's from Romans 15, verse 22 and verse 23. We give to the planting of churches. Verse 22 and verse 23. We've read the text already. Let's read it again. Verse 22, you follow along. The Bible says, Paul speaking, he said, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. Let's stop here. Now, Paul has never, up to this point, he had not visited the church in Rome. He didn't plant the church in Rome. He knows a lot of people in the Roman church. We know that from his greetings in chapter 16. But it seems like he's, for some time, has wanted to visit that church. But he says that he's been hindered from visiting them. So the question is, what has hindered him from visiting the church? And the answer is, he's been busy planting churches. He's been busy fulfilling the ministry that God gave for him to do. In fact, look up at verse 19. We're jumping into the middle of a conversation here, but look up at verse 19. Speaking about the gospel, speaking about planting churches, he says in verse 19, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Paul is saying in this large geographical area, Asia, Europe, certainly the land of Israel. He said, I've fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Oh, church, that we could say at the end of the ages, or that God could say at the end of the ages, Kitwe Church, you fulfilled the ministry I gave for you to do. You fulfilled the ministry. Jesus said at the end of his ministry in John chapter 17 on the way to Gethsemane, in the real Lord's Prayer, he said, Father, I have glorified your name by completing the work you gave me to do. That we could say that. That we could participate in the ministry of making Christ known and planting churches. New Testament churches that honor him. And so Paul says, I finished that ministry. To the point, he says in verse 23, we're going to need to follow along tonight. Verse 23, this is what he says. He says, but now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you. So after giving this broad picture of fulfilling his ministry in this large geographical area, Paul says in verse 23, I no longer have any room to work here. Now that's a strange statement, actually. Because we know that Paul planted churches in places like Galatia, southern Galatia, Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, perhaps other places. But there were actually cities that Paul walked through, and he never intended to plant churches in some of those cities. There were lots and lots and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cities and villages that Paul never planted a church in. There were thousands and thousands of people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul never spoke the gospel to most of them. But yet at the end of it, he could say, I've fulfilled my ministry. I no longer have any room for work in these regions. Well, why could he say that? He can say that because the biblical pattern is for a church to be planted and that church to reach their region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The biblical pattern is the church in Galatia and Corinth and Philippi and Ephesus. They were to reach their region and to the ends of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I've strategically, by the grace of God, planted churches. Now I have no more room to work because those planted churches are to work in those regions. You know that's why Kitwe Church is planted. Kitwe Church is planted so that we could, by the grace of God and the power of God, reach, by God's grace, Kitwe with the gospel. with the regions around us, the Copper Belt region and Zambia and the continent of Africa and to the very ends of the earth. That's why we're planted. And so Paul is expecting the churches to plant churches. And that's why when it comes to giving, we give to the planting of churches. We give to the planting or for the planting of churches. And church, we really need from time to time to stop and think about the opportunity that's right in front of us. We have an opportunity, and to some degree we've taken up that opportunity, an opportunity to partner with men and families who desire to plant churches in places like Sudan, among people that don't have a church, places where Christ isn't named, among people who've never heard in the beginning God. They've never heard that. We have an opportunity to partner, perhaps prayerfully partner with a family who desires to plant churches in Somalia. That's an incredible opportunity among people who they don't have a church. Regions of the world that presently are not singing the praises of Jesus Christ. Opportunities to plant churches in South Sudan. A real gospel church. Because the Bible says our Lord is worthy of the glory due His name. And what we've heard this weekend, will we pray? Will we pray that God would allow us to partner with these families? Would we pray that God would send one of us? Mom and Dad, we've said this before from this pulpit, but here's a test of your love for Jesus Christ. Would you pray that God would send one of your children to plant churches for Jesus Christ, especially in areas of the world where His name is not praised? We give for the planting of churches. We pray for the planting of churches. We disciple people to go for the planting of churches. So we give to the planting of churches. The second principle is we prayerfully plan to give. We prayerfully plan to give for the planting of churches. Verse 24, that's verse 24. He says this. Verse 24, he says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So Paul is telling the church in Rome, I've always wanted to come see you. I'm coming, but I'm not taking roots in Rome. I'm not staying in Rome. I'm not buying a house in Rome. I'm not planting a garden in Rome. I'm going to stay there for a while, and I'm moving on to Spain. Now, why Spain? Well, in Paul's day, I don't know what Paul was thinking. I don't know the man. We're going to, by God's grace, we'll meet him one day. But I don't know what he was thinking. But Spain is as far west as a person can go in the known world. Paul didn't know what was on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. He had no idea. And so as far as Paul was concerned, Spain was the western end of the earth. Spain was the western end of the earth. So Paul was taking literally Jesus' commandment to begin in Jerusalem and, not then, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He believed by faith that God was preparing a people to hear the gospel in Spain. He believed by faith what God said to Abram back in Genesis 12 and verse 3, when God said to Abram, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. He believed it so much, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, that when God said in Abram all the families of the earth would be blessed, God was speaking the gospel beforehand to the Gentiles. He believed Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon built the temple. You remember that, right? Just say amen. Just say you remember that. And so Solomon built the temple, and when he built the temple, he prayed to dedicate the temple. And in 1 Kings 8, somewhere around verse 41, Murdoch's paraphrase says this. He prayed and he said, God, they'll hear about your name. They'll hear about your great arm. They'll hear about the wonderful things you've done. And the foreigner will come to this place for the sake of your name. In other words, God planted them, the people of Israel in Jerusalem for missions for the foreigner, for the Gentiles, for the nations. Paul believed that. He wrote to Timothy, his protege, his spiritual son. He said, Timothy, remember, God's desire is that all men would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He believed it. Not just in his heart, with his hands and his feet. And he went to Spain. Church, do we believe it? Then we disciple for it. We pray for it, and we give to it. In fact, look what he says to the people in Rome. He says, look at verse 24. I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. So he's telling the church in Rome, I expect you to give and send me to Spain. I expect you to do that. Look what Paul said in verse 20. Look what he said in verse 20. He says, thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. And so Paul is on his way, right? He's on his way to Rome, and he's telling the Roman church, you should plan on me coming through on my way to Spain, and you should plan on giving and send me to Spain. He's helping them to plan. He's helping them to plan. He sends the letter in advance before he arrives. Let's look over at Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. Hold your place here. Hold your place here. And turn to the right. You've already been there. Find Philippians chapter 4. So you go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, Isaac read it for us. And in Philippians 4, Paul says this. Verse 14, he says, to the church of Philippi, he says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. He's talking about giving and praying and discipling. He says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Let that sink in for a moment. He said, look, remember Paul's planting churches. And he said, no church entered into partnership with me. Now, at the end of the ages, think of the covenant that we read this morning, the covenant we're going to read tonight. At the end of the ages, we do not want to be as a church before the judgment seat of Christ and have Christ say, you did not participate. We don't want to be one of the churches in this sentence that says, no church participated. We want to be one of the churches, but you. And in fact, he says this in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So he's writing the church in Rome in advance, and he's giving them opportunity to plan, prayerfully plan to give to the mission of planting churches in Spain. I love. That's a strong word. We Americans have to be careful about how often we use that word and how we use it. I really like leftovers. You know what leftovers are, right? You eat something on Saturday, and then it gets reheated on Sunday. I really like leftovers. If you don't like leftovers, bring them to me. I like burnt food too, by the way. I really do. If you burn your food, do not throw it away. Bring it to me. But I really like leftovers. God doesn't. He does not. He doesn't deserve leftovers. He doesn't accept leftovers. And who could blame him? He expects us to plan to give. I mean, when Paul shows up at Rome, he doesn't want the Roman church to say, we didn't know you were coming. I have something left over in my pocket. I have something left over in my purse. I have something left over in my wallet. I have something left over. God doesn't accept leftovers. Ask Cain. We plan to give. Prayerfully plan to give to plant churches, especially, not only, but especially in places where the praises of Christ are not being sung. So let's go back to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. Don't forget to hold your place in Philippians 4. So we give to the planting of mission or churches. We prayerfully plan to give to the planting of churches. And the third principle is we prayerfully plan to give with purpose. We prayerfully plan to give with purpose. So that's verses 25 through verse 27. And so verse 25, Paul says, "At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints." Now that's very interesting. Let me give you if I could summarize for you the background for what Paul just said. When he says, "I'm on my way to Rome, but I'm going to stop at Jerusalem because I'm carrying with me aid to the saints in Jerusalem." And the background for what he's doing is Acts chapter 11 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Acts chapter 11 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And you should be Berean Christians and you should go home and read those texts to make sure that your pastor is correct. If you don't know what a Berean Christian is, read Acts chapter 17. And when you read Acts chapter 17, you'll know what a Berean Christian is. And so Paul's on his way to bring aid to the saints in Jerusalem and Judea, because there's a famine that is hitting Jerusalem. Now the challenge is most of the Christians in the church in Jerusalem are Jews. And that's not a problem, except all the way back to John chapter 9. All the way back in John chapter 9, we could read that when a Jewish person came to believe and accept that Jesus is the Messiah, they were removed from the synagogue. Now that doesn't seem like a problem. Except to be removed from the synagogue is to be removed from Jewish life. It means that you're removed from Jewish society. If you have a business, no Jew will buy from you. If you need a job, no Jewish person will hire you. If you need a wife or a husband, no Jewish person is going to give you their daughter or their son. If you need help because you're hungry during a famine, it's likely your family may not help for risk of being kicked out of the synagogue themselves. So the only people that could help were Christians, the church. And so the churches outside of Jerusalem, they gathered an offering. They had probably spent over a year collecting this offering. And so Paul was taking it back to Jerusalem. Now that's important. Keep that in mind. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. He says in verse 26, now, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. So Paul said they were giving purposefully. They were giving purposefully to the aid for the aid of the saints in Jerusalem. And notice Paul mentioned the churches, look at verse 26, for Macedonia and Achaia. Now, there's something we can learn about giving from these regions, these churches. Hold your place here. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hold your place here. Turn to the right. You'll come to 1 Corinthians. And then, of course, right after 1 Corinthians is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul, again, is writing. And he's trying to revive, if you would, the enthusiasm in the Corinthian church for giving to the offering for the saints in Jerusalem. And so he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he says, We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that have been given among the churches of Macedonia. Now watch your Bibles. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, those two words normally don't go together. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Now, we could spend a week there, but the Macedonian churches were experienced severe poverty. Now, apparently there's poverty and there's severe poverty, but they begged Paul to give even beyond what would normally be expected of them. They begged Paul to do that. Now, here's what we can learn from that. There's a few things we can learn. No church can ever say, we can't give. No church can ever, no Christian, please forgive me. No Christian can ever say, I can't give. By the time we get to the end of this message, you'll see why. But this example, you know, lays the seed that no Christian can ever say that. And historically, let me try to summarize what's happening in the church in the world today. And this is very important to us. I think it's safe to say that the church in the north, the Northern Hemisphere, Central Europe, probably Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and North America, the church is in decline. The church, not every church, like not Redeemer Church, right? The Redeemer Church is not in decline. But the church spiritually, biblically teaching, making disciples, missions, is in decline. But the church in the South is growing. The church in the Southern Hemisphere, which includes Africa, Sub-Sahara Africa, is growing. And leadership in Africa is recognizing the need to be the hub. So the church went from Jerusalem to Antioch, other places, Rome, at some point, and now it's shifting to the South. And leadership is recognizing that we need to, Africa, we need to disciple our own people. There's no need to ship people off to the north. They're in decline. Build our own colleges, build our own universities, build up our own churches. We shouldn't be receiving missionaries as much as we should be sending missionaries. And Africa is beginning to wake up, please forgive me, to that. And wave of spiritual enthusiasm building for real biblical missions, and we can be at the leading edge of that wave. And no church can ever say, we're too poor to give. We give purposefully. So this is an example of churches giving purposefully, and Paul uses this intentionally, giving purposefully to the aid for the church in Jerusalem. So let's go back to Romans 15. Let's go back to Romans 15. So in Romans chapter 15, let's begin again in verse 26. So in Romans chapter 15 and verse 26, Paul says this again. He says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Verse 27, for they were pleased to do it. We'll get back to that. And indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. Now verse 28, when therefore I have completed this, and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. Paul reminds the church again, when I drop off this money, this offering, I'm moving to Rome, and I'm staying there for a little while, but then I'm moving to Spain, and you're going to help me. Now here's the thing. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem with money. Are we together? And he's writing the church in Rome, and he says, when I get there, you're going to fund my trip to Spain. He has money in his hand. Now you know how things are, right? You know how things could be in our culture. There could be every justification for Paul to say, this money is from God's people that I'm carrying. This money is for God's people that I'm carrying. I'm going to Spain for the work of God. I'm going to Spain to plant churches in Spain. I can just take some of this money. And you know there's men of God, apostles, prophets, pastors that would be glad to do that. Paul doesn't do that. Why? It's not just because of integrity. It's not just because of biblical accountability. It's those things. Biblical accountability, but it's because of the principle of purposeful giving. That offering was purposefully given, prayerfully, sacrificially, by the church that Paul was carrying for the purpose of the aid of the saints in Jerusalem. That was its purpose. So Paul was telling the church in Rome, you can prayerfully give for the purpose of planting churches in Spain. The principle of purposeful giving. Now, church, when we talk about purposeful, prayerful giving, what the elders are talking about is, and what the Bible is talking about is, above our present tithes and offerings. What we're asking you to do is participate in discipling for missions, participate in praying for missions, and begin to pray now for giving beyond our present budget, beyond our present tithes and offerings, specifically for the purpose of missions. If we're looking for a next step after this, we can't call it a conference, huh? After this weekend, the next step is prayerfully pray for giving to missions beyond our present giving. So that's the third principle. Let's go. Oh, we are in Romans 15. The fourth principle is we have the pleasure of giving. We have this pleasure of giving. So we give to the planting of churches. We plan to give to the planting of churches. We purposefully plan to give for the planting of churches. And we do it for the pleasure of purposefully, prayerfully planning to give to the planting of churches. Are we together? So that's verses 26 through 28 again. And then we're going to move to Philippians 4. So verse 26, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased. Do you see that word pleased? Grateful. With gratitude to God, they were grateful to participate in giving for that purpose. And then verse 28, when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. So now let's go to Philippians chapter 4, shall we? Philippians chapter 4. You don't need to hold your place here. That's our cue that we're almost finished. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to give us four reasons, biblical reasons, why we can be pleased to give for the purpose of planting churches. So let's begin in verse 17. Here's reason number one, verse 17. Paul says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your account or to your credit. So Paul says, look, I'm not looking for the gift. I'm looking to serve in such a way that God takes your gift and produces fruit. Remember, we glorify the Father by producing fruit. We learn in John 15 and verse 8, fruit that will last. And so there's the pleasure of watching God produce fruit with the offerings that we give. And it's fruit, God says, that's credited to our account. So when we give to missions, God uses that by God's grace, and He produces fruit. And we have the pleasure of knowing that God is taking that to produce fruit. Fruit that will last. And so then he says in verse 18, he says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So this church sent Epaphroditus. That's in Philippians chapter 2, by the way. They sent Epaphroditus with gifts for Paul while he was in jail for the gospel. And Paul said at the end of verse 18, these are gifts, they're a fragrant offering, a sacrifice unto God. They are an offering that pleases God. When we give, we have the pleasure of knowing that we're pleasing God. That's worship, by the way. Whenever we do, whatever we do, and if it pleases God, that's worship. It's an offering of worship. We have the pleasure of pleasing God. Then verse 19, and it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now this verse is in the context of giving for missions. Don't claim this verse in any other context. It's in the context of giving for missions. And Paul says, look, you give sacrificially and watch God supply every need of yours. Watch Him do that. Not every want, we know that, every need. Right? Paul said if we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. He said every need. And so there's the pleasure of watching God, His grace towards us. It's the pleasure of experiencing the grace of God as God meets our every need as we give. And then verse 20, he says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul finishes this with a praise. And so it's the pleasure of giving, of glorifying God. It's the pleasure of God receiving the glory. We can never say, look how much Kitway Church gives. No, that's God's in the first place. Anything we have is God's in the first place. If we say, that's my car, no, it's not. That's my house, no, it is not. This is my wallet, it is not. It's God's. Even if you're not a Christian here tonight, you may not know this, but everything you have, God owns it. So let's wrap this up very quickly. So here's what we want to do. We want to prayerfully plan to purposefully disciple and pray and give for the planting of churches. We want to leave here, and on Monday morning, when you begin your devotions, begin to prayerfully, purposefully plan for the planting of churches. William Carey also said this. He said, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of being successful at something that doesn't matter. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of being successful at something that doesn't matter. How about this? May I change it? I like William Carey. He's smarter than I'll ever be. But I'm not afraid of spending. I'm just afraid of investing in something that doesn't matter. How much of God's resources do we use for stuff that just doesn't matter? Tomorrow morning, would you begin to prayerfully pray that as a church, all of us would commit to this covenant we're about to read, and we'd commit to discipleship, we'd commit to prayer and giving to the planting of churches. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we're grateful and thankful that you saved us, but help us to demonstrate that gratefulness and thankfulness by participating in the greatest work, the work you guarantee to complete, that every nation, every tribe, every language, every tongue would proclaim the praises of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.